Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I've been waiting a couple of weeks for this one. Last week I was off skiing in the mountains of Colorado, 10,000 feet, looking at it, wondering if you'll make it down to the end. Obviously understanding mortality.
Yeah.
We were still saying at one some point in time, man has to do what a man has to do. He's got to find out what he's made of. Well, Ron was back here in the studio.
I don't tell you what we were wishing for. you were gone.
So I was skiing the moguls. Does that make me a media mogul? Thank you, Susan. At least you got that one.
I heard one laugh.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your thoughts. You have so few.
Thank you very little. You weren't here. So, yeah, we had a great show last week.
That's what I heard from the people on the street.
Oh, yeah. We had a great show. So, big sports show coming up.
Yeah.
Couple
that
of days.
Is fun.
It is fun. And,
I love it when you're indoors like that and people are happy and, you know. What do you got there? You got it?
Yeah. And then Darren will be joining us in about 10 minutes or so. Yeah, Darren Enville.
Yep.
He's the big wig over there at the sports show.
Yep.
And by the way, if you need to get in, I'll have some will call tickets for you.
Can you
there.
Vouch for me again?
I'm not going to vouch for you, but you could try to see if you can get in.
Shira.
Yeah.
I remember last year. There's Shira. S-C-H-A-R-A.
Yeah, there you go. They'll say, God, you're not as good looking as you look on TV. Hey, listen.
What are we going to do about this flooding?
What do you think you're going to do about it?
What scares you the most from an outdoor standpoint about the potential for flooding?
Well, you know, you don't like to see destruction of property, et cetera. Otherwise, you know, nothing scares me. The fish will take care of themselves. They always do. I'm more concerned about, as you know, March is the toughest time for wildlife in the wintertime because for deer, for example, and pheasants, they've all used their fat reserves all winter if they couldn't get enough food. Well, now a lot of those reserves are about gone. The snow is still deep, and DNR, we talked to them today, their winter severity index, they didn't have it figured yet at this point, but they said it's going to be bad. Now, that severity index is something they figured out years ago using temperature, snow depth, et cetera, to predict deer mortality, deer starvation. So March is the time when fawns and sometimes bucks start to succumb to the winter. Even though it's warming up, you know, you say, well, it's all over, but it's not all over for them, and the snow is still deep. And as I mentioned to you off the air, we have these days that the starts to melt. Well, then it gets cold at night, and you get a crust on the snow. And for wolves, coyotes, fox, who have struggled also in the snow, this gives them a chance now to run atop the snow. A deer never has that pleasure because of the sharp hooves. They just break through all the time. So that gives them an advantage. Plus, they're perhaps weakened, et cetera. So who knows what we're going to have for deer mortality losses this winter, but I would be surprised if DNR down the road says, oh, everything was fine, everybody made it in good shape, because I don't think that will happen.
But the actual spillage, the actual excess water is more a danger to humans than it is to...
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it would be, yeah. It's, you know...
Doesn't flood nesting or do anything to the fish population?
No, well, the fish aren't nesting yet. Birds aren't nesting yet, so no, it's way too early for that. But yeah, the biggest problem would be damage to human property, and you know, we kind of go in circles there. We get flooded out, you get paid, they're fixed up, or it's traumatic. But then they rebuild in these flood zones.
Yeah,
you go, really?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, you go, really? You have to, you know, you got to blame some local authorities for that, but. It's always sad, and I see where Fargo is going all out. They're going to fill 1 million sandbags. So
yeah, we've seen that before. I was never in the Grand Forks area during the flood. Were you?
No, No, it wasn't. No.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it long after, but I never saw it during. But
no, I me either. But
now, I'm going to be going down to Des Moines for the NCAA basketball tournament on Wednesday, which I'll be going right through your hometown country. But obviously, the Mississippi runs there, so flooding in jeopardy. But also, are there landmark? Is there a landmark or two that would point out this is where Ron Shearer is?
Yeah, there's
childhood
a
home is what?
Well, not much. You'll miss my childhood home because you'll be going down 35W to Des Moines.
Well, how far off the beaten path is it? I can always leave a little extra.
Well, no, you don't have to because I went to Iowa State at Ames. You'd be driving right through Ames. There's a huge statue there of
me. Oh, is
it
really?
Yeah. And take a picture of it. Take a look at it. I allowed them to put the name Ames on the top there, just so people. Well, yeah.
How does that compare to the other community colleges?
Iowa State.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great school. Yeah, you got to be smart to go there.
You That's missed the whole joke.
I never
you
saw you. No.
I said, how does it compare to the other community colleges?
Yeah, I did. My dad didn't have any money anyway, but he probably wouldn't have bribed anybody to get me in there.
That would have been taking one big bribe to get Ron into school.
Yeah, I don't have that much money, son. And nobody is, if they saw you, are not going to accuse you of being athletic, so there you go.
Yeah, but what did you major in?
I started off in fish and wildlife biology and ended up with a combination of fish and wildlife biology and journalism. Yeah.
You did both?
I did both, yeah.
That's a strange double.
It was a very good double. I was the only kid out of 14,000.
It was a very good double.
Out of 14,000 students, I was the only one that had that combination, and it served me well, buddy. It served me well because now I have the pleasure of sitting here correcting you on all the wildlife biology. I correct you on everything outdoors because of that.
Yeah,
so hail to Iowa State.
I majored in communications, wrote my own major with the approval of number of people on a committee. But I was the first one to create my own major in telecommunications at Hamline University. But I minored in business and in psychology, which would be kind of similar to a PhD from Iowa State. So when we get into thank you, Susan. Thank you. You picked up on that one, too. I'm glad somebody in this room appreciates good humor.
You know, you talk about deep snow. You should see how deep it is in here.
But I'm able to analyze you.
Oh, really? When you said you majored in communication, I analyzed you, too. I go, he flunked out. He flunked out. Hey.
Tell me what we got coming up.
Well, we have Darren Enval. We're going to talk about the sports show coming up, see what's new there. And then second half of the show, we're going to talk to DNR Area Fishery Supervisor Tom Heinrich. We're going to talk about Mille Lacs. The DNR made a big announcement about they're going to let you keep one walleye this year, starting in for the fishing opener for 3 weeks.
We'll get into it more, but what's your gut reaction to that?
Well,
is it progress? Is it what?
I don't want to say right now.
Okay.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Okay.
But what's missing through all this is I go, whoa, this doesn't make much sense. I mean, it's kind of odd. There's a great Mille Lacs walleye. You can fish it for 3 weeks. You got a limit of one. It has to be between 21 and 23 inches. And after 3 weeks, it's all closed again. I go, really?
Well, that's why I'm interested in reaction. I can't quite figure this. Is this something that will excite people or not?
Well, I'm sure, excited walleye fishermen for sure. But here's what's missing. This is why I wanted to get somebody on like Mr. Heinrich there. DNR does a lousy job of explaining their logic there. Mm-hmm. I want to hear this logic.
That's a very good point,
because it makes no sense to me.
What is the reason, right?
What is the reason? So I'm not going to bash them until I hear that logic. So there you go.
Ron Shearer, plus my frivolity. More of it when we come back. I'll also break down Ron and what he really means when he says something. Talking about the sports show next. Welcome back. Live Outdoors. Henry Lake coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll give a little preview of that a bit later. Dave Thorson's going to join me, former De La Salle coach, now coaching at Colorado State. Mike McDonald from Cambridge, Sandy. You want a family affair for the State High School Basketball Tournament. You're going to get it this year. Darren Engvall runs that sports show we were just talking about, the Minneapolis Convention Center. One of the true joys that I have in my life is when I can sneak, because it's really easy for me from TV or radio to go the Skyway over to the convention center and just disappear into the crowd for a couple hours, walking up and down those aisles, checking on all that is good about the outdoors. Darren, I appreciate that very much. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, no problem, Mikey. Mike, thanks for having me on the air.
The Mexican also walk those halls in obscurity, and nobody knows who he is. And then the other thing, Darren, he finally found a fishing hole he can catch something. Yes, for the little trout pond, you know.
Yeah, here we go. I see what happens when I open Pandora's box.
Well, Darren, it's the same with me. My gosh, they say robins are the sign of spring, but the sports show for me and for years has been the sign of spring. And so we're looking forward to Thursday. You already moving in now?
We start bright and early tomorrow morning. So, yeah, I'm excited, and it is a kickoff of the spring, specifically when we had the long, cold, snowy winter that we had. So it's time to start thinking about better times and getting on the water and start catching some fish.
Well, I'm predicting you're going to have huge crowds because there is this winter blast going
here. I think so.
And even if it might be 50 degrees this weekend, but you still can't do anything outside, so people are going to get spring fever and be walking the aisles for fishing tackle, lodges, resorts, boats, motors, you name it. So just in a nutshell, any new features coming up this year?
Yeah, we're working with Sea Life in the Mall of America with bringing in Brave the Rainforest. So they're going to be bringing creatures in that you'd see at the rainforest. So it's really exciting to work with a new feature that was just released at the Mall of America and to see something that you normally wouldn't see. So I'm excited to work with them. And as always, we have great seminar speakers, features with Ducks Unlimited, National Wild Turkey Federation. But that is a big one this year for the education seminars.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned great seminar speakers. I think you have a couple coming up.
Don't tell me he's on this docket. Good Lord.
You have a couple of great ones starting and kicking off the whole deal.
What is he going to speak on, Darren? Exotic Mike, Rainforest Cafe or what?
Mike, we both saw that coming. But, yeah, we do have a great tradition is Ron and the legend Gary Rocha doing a seminar on catching walleye. So thank you, Ron. I appreciate you.
What role does Ron play in that?
Ron is one of the legends.
Thank you. Thank you, Darren. I'm just a good-looking guy up there on the stage and kind of move along the questions, et cetera. No, Gary and I kick it off at 2 o'clock Thursday. I'm going to hire Mike to stop in and sit there because
I'll be sitting there all right.
But you have a full lineup. You've got turkey hunters. You got more fishermen, et cetera, et cetera. You can name a few of those?
Yeah. We've got some young people coming up, too, up-and-comers. You got Trevor Lowe. You got Chad Smith that's on the Bass, trying to get on the Bass Elite Tour. We have John Hoyer that's won a couple tournaments on the Walleye Series. You know, Tony Roach, great grandnephew of Gary Roach. Just a great kickoff for it. We have some other people that are from northern Minnesota, Jared Houston. Trying to get everybody interested in the outdoors and learn some new techniques. And we also have the demonstration tank, too, where people are going to be able to see in the tank how lures are working and how fish react.
Yeah, that's always fun. Now, before we go along too far here, if folks want to get information about ticket prices, hours, what can they do?
I would visit northwestsportshow.com. Great way to figure out parking around the facility, the best way to get there. Also, special ticket pricing.
All right.
What's that? You know, I always look for trends. Do you have more vendors coming from Canada that are selling summer fishing trips? Do you have more equipment? Do you have more boats or pontoons? Is there anything out there that looks hot?
Fishing tackle is always the focus on the Northwest Sports Show. People just getting off the Bassmaster Classic last week, and a lot of the manufacturing reps will have that new tackle at the show. So I would say that is always the focus of the show, as well as, you know, the travel resorts. Throughout. And there are going to be a couple of bass boats that are going to be released. We have some new bass boats from Basscat as well as Vexus. You know, you always have the Rangers and Crestliner ones. So it's still always a mix, but I do think the focus of the show would be the two fishing tackle as well as travel resorts.
Yeah, for sure. It's always interesting for me. And you put on the boat show too, and there are some, so we say, fishing boats there, but most of them, most of the boats are runabouts and you know, the big luxury liners like Maxi would have.
Yeah. But can you even get those in the door anymore or not?
But the Northwest Sports Show is heavy on good old Minnesota fishing type boats. They might not all be cheap, but they're all, for the most part, fishing boats, right?
They are. You do have a little bit of a fish and ski feel, or the pontoons that are kind of a multi-purpose boats, but it is heavy on the Minnesota feel, from, you know, sticking with the local boats of Lumacraft, Crestliner, Lund, as well as, you know, some close neighbors with Smoker Craft. So it is heavy on the fishing boats. So it's the best place to be able to get in a boat and see what kind of fishing boat best fits your family.
Well, Darren, we're going to see you Thursday. Look forward to that. Maxi?
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Darren. And gates open when on Thursday?
We open at 1 o'clock. So, again, visit northwestboardshow.com. It'll give you information on parking around the facility and the best way to get there. Also, there's a lot of information on the exhibitors that you'll see, and you're able to plan your event because there's a lot of things going on.
Thanks, Darren.
Yep, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Ron.
Ron, you've seen a lot of sports shows. And we see the sports shows that also pop up in St. Cloud, Sioux Falls, Fargo. Are they the same layout, or is it not as big because it's in the Twin Cities?
Well, they're a similar layout. They're produced by a different company, but they're very similar. You know, fishing tackle, lodges, boats, etc. This is the granddaddy of them all. It's the biggest of them all as well. And, of course, being in Minneapolis, the most people. But what's interesting to me is it's changed over time, but used to have a big stage show there at the sports show. Where we would have Sparky the Seal would perform. There would be trick casters. They would bring in acts from Japan with guys using
from Japan.
Yeah, using birds to feed on. They'd have a big pond there and birds to collect,
catch
the trout alive. You know, and there'd be log rolling contests and lumberjacks and a band, a whole orchestra, and the whole bit. And obviously, that went away when
How long ago was this? I mean, when was this?
Oh, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. It all went away.
I remember that.
Maybe 15 years ago. It all went away when they remodeled the convention center and did not put in an auditorium. And so do you remember when for 2 years the sports show was held at the Dome on the floor?
I don't remember that. It was?
Yeah, well, you were
How did that play? Okay, or?
Well, yeah, it was awkward. I mean, all those steps to get down to the floor, you know. That's the only thing they could do. And so the show goes on, and now it's still one of the best shows in the country, and Darren deserves a lot of credit for that.
What was the most bizarre show you were ever a part of?
Well, you know, I used to open the stage show, and I had some wild turkeys, and people didn't know what a wild turkey was, really. Didn't know the size of them, so I had some pet ones, and I would bring a rolling tree branch out there in the stage and throw the turkey up in the air, and it would fly back to the branch because it had no other place it wanted to land, you know. Didn't want to go on the stage. It was comfortable on the branch. And but one night I let the hen fly up to go to the branch, and the spotlight got in her eyes or whatever, but she missed it. Which was no big deal because she just landed on the stage, wasn't hurt or anything. But the next act was a black lab and Labradors. And the guy with the dogs was not paying any attention to his dogs, waiting for himself to go on and be announced. But the dogs were watching my turkeys. And the turkey flew up in the air, missed the branch, landed on the floor. And the next thing I saw was a black streak. trying to fetch or kill my turkey.
Did the turkey fly again?
No, but we got a hell of a laugh from the audience. No, I grabbed it. I grabbed her. She didn't know what the hell was going on.
So you did get it out of harm's
way. Oh yeah, yeah. This is my act.
And this was not Raven.
No. This is another act. The following act.
Last question. Where did you get wild turkeys to bring to the?
They were game farm turkeys, but
game farm turkeys.
Oh yeah, they look just like a wild one.
For sure. Good. But I didn't know game farms raised them.
Oh, some do. Not
you
all
hunt
of them. If you pay enough, you can. Yeah, there wouldn't be any challenge. It'd be like, you know, just like you.
Well, and, yeah, you would be calling them in the same way,
like
right?
Like you and the trout at the trout pond at the sports show. You just walk up there and shoot. Yeah.
So what? So you used to open that show, and the show no longer exists.
There you go.
Do the math on that one.
Yeah, thank you
when
very much.
When we come back, we're talking fishing and keeping one walleye. Is that enough? That's next. All right. What do you got to wiggle to catch a walleye? How many can you catch, Ron?
Well, DNR made an exciting announcement last week, and we're going to talk about that. We're honored to have DNR Area Fishery Supervisor Tom Heinrich with us this evening. Good evening, Tom.
Hi, guys.
Thank you for joining us. Last week, you guys had kind of some good news and then some bad news.
Depends on how you look at it, right?
The good news was finally you could catch a walleye and keep it, one. And the bad news was it had to be 21 to 23. And then the other bad news was it only lasted for 3 weeks and the season was closed again. What kind of reaction have you got from anglers?
Well, you know, there's some folks that certainly expected that kind of regulation. You know, as you can imagine, others were disappointed.
Well, here's what I'm trying to figure out. Maybe you can help me here. It sounds just so impractical, weird for Mille Lacs. And what seemed to be missing for me was any explanation from DNR Fisheries on what your logic was for this 3 week open season and then that a 2-inch slot, et cetera, et cetera. Can you enlighten us a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, really, I mean, what this all is based on is a target of what we would like to have for that walleye population. And that's a target that's based on some agreements that we've got with the 1837 treaty bands. And so in order to achieve that target, we had to have some fairly moderate harvest options. And part of the problem that we have whenever we're trying to come up with some of these harvest options is we really don't know what's going to happen throughout the summer. For instance, is the fishing going to be really good? Is the weather going to be really hot? How are anglers going to respond after, you know, not being able to harvest a walleye for several years? And that's a lot of uncertainty that goes into our modeling. And so ultimately what we have is we run a series of models and we come up with some risks of going over our allowable harvest that we've agreed to with the bands. And what it really comes down to ultimately is how much risk are you willing to accept of going over that target? Because if we go over the target, then we're going to have to shut the walleye fishing down completely. So it wouldn't even be open to catch or release. It would be like it was several years ago where the walleye season would just be closed. And so what we decided is that the amount of risk that we, you know, are willing to assume with these regulations is that we figured there's about a 10 to 15% chance that we're going to go over our target. That's how these regulations were selected.
Well, there's a lot of paper walleyes there, and they might be accurate. I don't know. I'm confused about a couple of things. One is your allowable harvest is in pounds, right?
Correct.
So you keep track of those pounds. You have a certain system that you use, correct?
Yep. It's called a Creel survey.
All right. It's a Creel survey. Now, and the tribe has to abide by their poundage as well, right?
Correct. Yep.
So how do you know what their poundage is?
Well, they also monitor their poundage the same way we monitor ours.
How do they do that?
Well, during the spring, they harvest almost exclusively in the spring. And so they've got a series of regulations that they have to come in to certain landings where there are monitors to monitor their harvest.
So the fish are they're weighed then, I guess, huh?
Yes, they're weighed.
Okay.
We also have monitors that work along with the tribal monitors. You know, basically everybody's watching everybody else, you know, to make sure that everyone's doing things right.
Right. Well, the thing about the 21 to 23, those are big walleyes. And so I'm saying, I wonder if DNR considered the fact that most of us that fish walleyes, you know, it kind of goes against our nature to put a fillet knife to a nice walleye that size. We'd rather have a 15 to 19 and 20 incher. And so now you're telling us that if we want to keep one walleye, we got to kill this beautiful fish. And it's also a big fish, which means we get to the quota faster. So this is what's mind-boggling for me.
Yeah, you know, and that's certainly something that's been raised, you know, even within our own agency, you know, that we are targeting these things on some fairly large fish. Well, we get the issue that we have to deal with when we're setting these rigs is that we've got a very large year class, the 2013 year class. And if we have our slot, our harvest slot set right where that 2013 year class is, these things are fairly abundant, and we're going to hammer that. First of all, we're going to hammer the year class down, and secondly, we're going to get to our quota very, very quickly.
Well, won't you get it? Won't you get to it quickly with the 21 to 23 slot too?
We would, but so the 2013 year class, the fish from that year class, they're probably averaging somewhere in that 17 to 18 inch, up to the very biggest ones are probably just getting into that 21 inch harvest slot. And what happened, and you know, this is kind of why we've been very conservative for the past several years, is that prior to producing a very large 2013 year class, we produced four very weak year classes in a row.
Yes,
and that caused our overall walleye population to go down quite a bit.
Right.
So the bottom line is that since we're just above that 2013 year class where we've set our harvest slot, there's really not an awful lot of fish in there because that is really comprised of a bunch of weak year classes.
It's
kind of a weird deal, you know, and I understand, you know, where people are coming from because we're really focusing all of our effort on a fairly weak portion of the overall age and size distribution of our walleye population.
Yeah, it's been said by some other anglers that perhaps know more about this than I do, that, but now you're protecting that huge 2013 year class, and they're almost getting to 20, 21 inches. If you keep protecting them, you're going to have the same problem in a couple more years. You're going to have a whole bunch of 2013 year class fish out there that are going to be big, and you're going to have people go catch them, and they're going to get over their quota real fast. Does that make any sense?
Well, you know, as time goes on, of course, you know, we can move exactly where that slot is. And, you know, this is something that we've discussed amongst ourselves as well. And, I mean, ultimately, we're going to have to move that slot down. We certainly can't keep protecting that, you know, that 2013 year class.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a couple of reasons, you know, one is that, you know, if we keep protecting it, ultimately, we're going to be, you know, setting our harvest slot at a very high level, and nobody really wants to eat a huge walleye.
No.
So we're going to have to slide it down probably into that 14 to 16 inch range somewhere along the line. You know, I mean, I can't tell you whether it's going to be this year or next. Well, certainly not going to be this year, but next year or somewhere else down the road.
14 to 16, that's a Mike Mack size walleye. It's a mounter for him.
I got three on my wall right now. When will we ultimately be able to fish for a limit of walleye on Lake Mille Lacs?
Well, you'll be able to fish for a limit of walleye.
It's just the limit is one.
Going to be. Right. Right now, the limit is one. And, I mean, I foresee a day when we're going to be able to expand beyond where we are now. And one of the big unknowns is just exactly how our angler is going to respond to this.
You know, when you say that, what do you mean how will they respond? What are you looking for one way or the other?
Well, what we're looking for is how many people are going to come to Mille Lacs now that you can harvest a walleye again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that we found through our krill surveys is right now in the summer, you know, our pressure is only about half of what it used to be. You know, we used to get almost about 1.2 million angler hours, you know, in the relatively recent past.
Yeah.
And now we're down in about that 600,000 angler hour range. Well, a lot of that was driven by some very restrictive harvest regulations that we had.
Yes.
It drove away anglers that want to harvest a few fish.
Yeah, for sure.
And now that you can harvest one, I don't know, you know, how anglers are going to respond. Are we going to, you know, have just 700,000 angler hours, you know, which would be a fairly moderate response, or are we going to go up to 1 million?
Well, I don't know either.
That's just a huge unknown.
I can always just go by what I discovered in Wisconsin town. This is just an anecdote. Doesn't mean what's going to happen in Mille Lacs. But I used to open the walleye season in Wisconsin every year and on Yellow Lake. And the limit was three, set by Wisconsin DNR after consulting with tribes on how many they were going to spear in that lake. Well, then that was going along fine. The old Ike Walton Lodge was full of people, and docks were full of boats, etc. So then one year I came back over there, and now the limit is two. Well, that's okay. You know, two fish is a meal. You can make that happen. And if you get your two
walleyes still full, what do we got?
The lodge is still full. If you get two fish, you can go to the bar early and brag that you got your limit. Well, then I went there one year. The last year I went there, I went and looked at the sign at the public access that said the limit is one. And the docks were empty at the lodge, and so were a lot of the rooms. And I personally never went back after that. One fish, just really, really one fish. If you want to eat walleye,
great opportunity for me to say I got my limit, though.
Yeah, and what we kind of found on Mille Lacs is that the pressure, more or less maintained itself until we got down to a two fish limit with a very narrow harvest slot.
Yeah,
that's really where the big drop happened.
Well, this is heavy lifting stuff. Tom, appreciate your time very much. This is heavy lifting stuff. Keep us in the fold.
Okay, we'll do.
And Tom, thank you very much for sticking with us here. I had a lot of questions, and I appreciate your answers and appreciate you coming on. Okay.
Well, pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Tom.
A funny story from Ron Shero next. Welcome back, Live Outdoors Basketball Talk in the 8 o'clock hour. Ron, I pick up the St. Paul Sunday edition of the St. Paul Pioneer Press yesterday when I come in here to do our fine radio show with myself, Sid Hartman, Dave Mona.
Yeah.
On the back page, I emphasize back page, there's a picture of you holding up a fish.
I caught it, too. It just makes me
different. There's nothing in there that says you caught it.
That makes me different
than
you.
And there is a photographer there.
That makes me different than you.
What's minfish?
Minfish, we're very excited about it. We just waited until Sunday to kind of announce our existence. We have a big booth at the sports show. Minfish, MN-FISH, has been months in the making. It's a fishing organization composed of a board of directors, et cetera, of John Peterson of Northland Tackle, Steve Panaz, a fishing pro, Al Lindner, fishing pro, on and on. And we decided we needed an organization that represented the everyday anglers in the legislature because, oddly enough, and it might surprise a lot of people, it did me, outside of some groups that are concerned about keeping their pike spearing, so they organized, they're over the legislature. The muskie guys thought their sport was going to be restricted, so they're in the legislature. But there's nobody over there for the bluegill fishermen, the walleye fishermen, the bass fishermen, just concerned about issues. Then we found out that our tax money, not our fishing license money, our tax money, has not been used by the legislature for any fishing projects for 10 years. So you go, why is that? Well, the reason that is, there's no squeaky wheel over there.
You literally need to lobby them, huh?
Yeah, and we need a squeaky wheel. And, you think about it. This is true. I don't know the percentage, but there's every year there's a higher percentage of our legislators who neither hunt nor fish.
Oh, that goes up over time?
Oh, my, yes. It's going the percentage that hunt and fish is going lower.
Right.
Yeah, so they don't understand. They don't understand our deal. So we have some other issues, too. The other thing we want to do is, let me be clear, Minfish is not going to be a DNR bashing outfit. That doesn't mean we're not going to have disagreements with them. But
that's
we
not
wanna,
the intent.
No, what we hope to be and will be is a conduit to fisheries so we can help them if they need some help in the legislature or whatever. And we can also get information that other people maybe can't get.
Okay. But
so, we can get
and
that.
And get
so,
that out to the masses.
Our goal is
now,
to have,
now, what will your role be in this specifically?
Well, I missed the first organizational meeting last summer.
Good job. Thank you.
And so I was made the president of this thing. So the moral of the story is if you miss a meeting, the first one, you're going to be the president. So I was the president, buddy.
Why am I losing faith in this organization?
Well, listen, I have a good team behind me, if that'll make you sleep better.
Good.
Yeah, so very excited about it. Yeah. Very excited about it.
So what will be your first, like is there a first time you go up to lobby? What do you do?
Well, we've already been, Gary Leaf is our legislative rep, and he's done a little bit already with some issues, but our big kickoff here is at the sports show. Membership is free, but you can go get that membership free, or you can make a donation by going to our website. It's mn-fish.com, mn-fish.com, and sign up there or sign up at the sports show. Our next big effort here will be in the next few weeks. DNR has been curious about us, and we have asked to sit down with them just to explain to them what's driving us and how we're here to help or we're here to get answers. So,
yeah, but you're not defiant to them. You're just, here's who we are, let's talk.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, you know, I'm a firm believer. You know, we just had a DNR fishery guy on. Most of them that I've met are very serious, dedicated people. And so that's no take on them, but it's there's still questions out there that need answers, and we hope to ask those questions.
So like, do you get to wear a big hat and a gavel or something at the meetings? What do you get?
I carry a shotgun with me, buddy.
Otherwise known as your fishing rod in Rio when you're out there in the yeah. Those
no, everybody's going to get along. Okay. We want to shorten the time between bites.
Okay, we'll be doing it again next week, right? But we can see you at the sports show?
You'll see me if you just look for the crowds. You'll find me.
Oh, God. Why did I do that to him? Why did I leave him alone for that one? We're talking basketball on the other side. Dave Thorson from De La Salle to Colorado State. He's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.